Oh, pardon me.
Did you do it the summer sheet?
Yeah, I'm opening up a public hearing on Senate Bill 622A with the TAG program, Talented Gift Program. And the plan, just FYI, the plan is when we get a quorum, which is going to happen in about 22 seconds, with inimitable timing, I might close the public hearing on 622A and open up a work session.
Just recess the public
hearing. Recess it? Is that the way to go? Okay, so I'm going to recess the hearing on 622A. And I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2584 and turn it over to Darren Hill to talk about this policy bill.
Sure, Mr. Chair. Since I know you're kind of pressed for time, you have a packet in front of you that has the bill. It has the staff measure summary from the policy committee. It also has the fiscal impact statement and the revenue impact statement. To keep it short and sweet, Mr. Chair, this bill was funded in House Bill 5019, the operations budget for the Department of Education, and there are no proposed amendments here, so it should be a matter of you approving this bill so it can continue on.
Ms. Chairman, you're in work session. We're in work session, and Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2584 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan has moved House Bill 2584A to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Good bill should pass. I'm working on this for a long time.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Further discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion carries.
Carriers.
I'll carry one.
Senator Walker is kind enough to carry it to the Senate.
I'll carry it to the floor, and Morgan is Representative Morgan's wants to carry it to the House.
I really appreciate you volunteering me for that. Thank you.
Okay, so Senator Devlin will carry it to the full Ways and Means Committee.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could only get another provision with that, she's going to shoot me, so I can agree that if you promise to vote for the next bill after this, so I can tell the Speaker.
Good luck, Senator.
And then Representative Morgan will carry that to the House. Thank you all very much for that. So, now, closing the work session on House Bill 2584, and I'm opening, now we're, reconvening a public hearing on Senate Bill 622, and I'm going to turn it over to Legislative Fiscal Darren Hill, who's going to talk a bit about...
Sure, Mr. Chair, real quickly. In your packet here, again, you have a copy of the engrossed bill. A summary of what the bill does, and real quickly, the bill requires the Department of Education to employ at least one full-time equivalent employee to administer the Talented and Gifted program. It requires the Department of Education to establish 6 regional Talented and Gifted planning centers. Each planning center will have a regional planning committee that consists of teachers, school district administrators, parents of talented and gifted students, and school district or school talented and gifted program coordinators. The bill also requires the department to dedicate one half of a full-time equivalent employee to each center, and it requires each center to organize and host training classes and seminars, distribute small-scale grants for programs, assist programs with finding external funding, assemble and distribute best practices information to teachers, provide materials for professional development, and provide other activities related to talented and gifted. Currently, it appropriates $860,000 of general fund to the Department of Education for the establishment of the center and declares an emergency, making the bill effective on July 1st.
And I had a question, Darren. If I'm remembering correctly, currently the department has about a 0.3 FTE tag. Is that accurate?
It's less than a full, yes, Mr. Chair. I believe that is correct.
And about how many TAG students are there in Oregon?
I don't have that number in front of me, Mr. Chair, sorry.
It's probably one of the TAG students knows.
I'm quickly looking through my notes from
Mr. Chairman, I might inquire.
Senator Devlin.
Because it might relate, and I think it's probably fine. 0.3 FTE. Do we know what the position is? It's not the person itself, but do we know what kind of position it is?
Mr. Chair, I don't have that information for you. Morgan is here if you want to ask him. I believe that it does other things too. It's not just a point.
But is it an administrative position, and is there very good things about administrative positions, or is it a professional position in education?
Mr. Allen, thank you for being here. Good timing.
Thank you, Chair Iglesias, members of the committee, Senator Devlin, for the record, Morgan Allen, Department of Education. To answer your question, I believe Andrea Morgan has been before this committee. She also, about 0.3 of her time is actually dedicated to talented and gifted programs, and the rest of her FTE is divided up amongst civics and social studies, and she'll actually be the person that's doing the bill that you guys just passed out in our department. And she is an education specialist. That is her position. And I believe it's an education specialist, too. And I don't know what salary step or anything she's on, but
might have to look at education specialist, too, to see what. It is not a question about the person. It's a question about what the qualifications are for that position.
And I can get the specific answer to that question, Senator Devlin, but generally those people have to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree, quite often a master's degree, or some substantive experience in a classroom setting or public schools or education. Okay. So.
And does the number 41,231 tag students sound about right?
That does sound about right to me, Chair.
That's a lot of smart young people. Or 0.3, okay.
I believe it's about one out of every 13 public school students has been identified as a tag. It's rough. That's pretty rough, but.
Okay, thank you. All right. Well, are there any other questions for Mr. Allen? Thank you for providing that information. Appreciate that. Well, did we have anyone?
Yes, 41,230.
The one person who wanted to speak first is
ma'am, you're directly in my line of sight. I don't know your name, but I've been told that you have to leave and you would like to speak. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Would you?
You want me to come?
Please.
Hi.
Yeah.
My name is Cindy Sutton. I'm from Nesquen, Oregon. I'm a parent of a couple of TAG students at the Mesteca Valley School District. I have a son who's going to be a senior next year and is only going to have two classes until he graduates, and they can provide no AP courses, nor were they going to provide any expanded options for him. The importance of this advocacy is very much needed in the state of Oregon. It was years ago when I was told by our district that we didn't have a TAG program, and it took people from outside the district to alert the people in the district that we were supposed to have a TAG program and what a TAG plan was and how the identification process went, which all of us were pretty clueless, because what we thought was TAG was that our kids tutored to the kids who were not quite up to par. And my daughter was never challenged. And the sad thing about it is she didn't want to go through college, and she almost dropped out of high school. And so we risk losing the kids on the high end. She transferred over to another district her senior year and was able to tap into college for the first time and learned, you know, how to get a C and learned the value of being challenged. And now she wants to go to law school and become a civil rights lawyer. And I think this is really important that we inspire our gifted kids, and this is a great first step to get this going, and I commend you guys for finally putting something through that is really going to help our state, and I hope to see much continued progress in this regard. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for coming out this way to testify.
You. It's very important. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So there will be a sign-up sheet going out right now, and so if there are people who would like to testify in support or in opposition to the bill, please go ahead and sign up. And very ominous sound. So.
Oh. It's somebody's out in the hallway building something.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you. I was just curious. Is the proposed appropriation part of the co-chair's budget?
It, not to my knowledge. I think I believe there are discussions right now in terms of appropriating funds to increase the FTE for TAG so we don't just have a 0.3. Is it specifically in the amount requested in this bill? I don't know about that. Is that about your understanding, Senator Devlin?
Mr. Chairman, it's just about this. It's about the same in terms of our discussions in this committee and my other subcommittee also, is that we're going through bills, some of them that have been funded that we're getting work sessions on, some of them that they're searching for which are the bills that they're going to still fund with whatever assets are remaining. And so I do not know actually what the status of this one is at this time.
Okay.
I mean, we've all got two or three of us sitting there.
Okay. Can I call up Becca Feathers from Senator Rick Metzger's office? Senator Metzger is the chief co-sponsor of Senate Bill 622A. Welcome, Ms. Feathers.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Becca Feathers. I am a legislative assistant for Senator Rick Metzger in District 26, and I hope I can answer a couple of the questions that are going about the committee. If I hope in front of you, you have some A5 amendments to the bill, which will provide some answers to the question, where is the money coming from?
I think we're going to get those right now.
Okay. Well, I can provide just a brief overview. Those amendments do two things. First, they eliminate the position of full-time statewide coordinator from the bill. The reason for that is that Legislative and Council informed Senator Metzger that it was not possible to fund an existing program and a new program in the same bill. And as the full-time coordinator is an existing program that did not get funding in the general OD budget that came out, that would not be able to be funded by this bill. So we'll look for some other options and to find a place to fund that, but it's just not possible in this bill. The second thing that amendment does is disappropriates and then reappropriates money from the School Improvement Fund to fund the regional planning centers that are the meat of Senate Bill 622. And it would earmark specifically $860,000 from that fund to administer to the programs and give the Department of Education control over that particular money for talented and gifted education.
Mr. Chairman,
any questions?
Maybe for Mr. Hill. Has this amendment been actually reviewed by LFO and by the co-chairs?
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, I received this amendment about 15, 20 minutes ago. I was in the middle of another meeting. It may have been delivered earlier.
It is not a concern because we're not in work session. It's just simply that there, if the co-chairs were to fund this bill and we were to pass this bill, there are ways, if we had the resources, there are ways to fund it without taking it from this school improvement fund.
And I can say that Senator Metzger is certainly interested in finding a way to fund this that doesn't take from other educational programs. This seemed to be an option that was open. And I apologize for getting the amendment to you so late. We only received it an hour ago ourselves.
We were thinking if Senator Metzger didn't need an office, if he was going to come back, we could just take the money from Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm reading the A5 amendments, and again, you know, I haven't had these in my hand for about 30 seconds now. I've made it down to Section 2, Subsection 2. Each center shall have a regional planning committee. And then Section 3, the department shall dedicate one half of a full-time equivalent employee to each center to serve as the coordinator. How are those people paid for?
Those are included in the funding for the bill.
So those are part of the $860,000?
Yes. What are you looking for, Richard?
If not, I've seen an estimate somewhere in the cost.
Are there any other questions for Ms. Feathers? No? Okay. Well, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it.
Send our best to the Senator.
I will do so.
All right. Let me take a little guess here. I see Shannon Riggs and Sabrina Riggs, both from Polk City. Do you know one another? Okay, would you both come up with the first?
Mr. Chair?
Please answer the clerk.
Well, they're coming up. I would suspect that with the Dash 5 amendment, you may want to put the sign-up sheet back out there for people to testify in light of a new amendment, but I don't know.
Can we do that?
I think there's another sheet out there.
So if anyone would like to sign up to testify on the A5 amendment, which just obviously just came out, please do. That would be. Oh, it's not there.
Just read what you need.
All right. So good afternoon. Ms. Riggs and Ms. Riggs.
Hello. I'm Shannon Riggs. We live in Polk County. We're in the Salem Kaiser School District. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. We're here to express support for SB 622 because the TAG program, I have two children in the TAG program in the Salem Kaiser District, and it's not working. We moved here a year ago, and my husband retired from the Navy. We're settling in Salem. And both children have gone through the testing process and have now finished a year in the TAG program, and it's not working at all. My children are very bored in school. They're not being challenged. As an example, my daughter was absent for 4 days, Monday through Thursday, 1 week this year, and by the end of Friday, she had made up the entire week's worth of work. By the end of the school day on Friday. I just have a couple of things to tell you about our experience, and I have written testimony there. The TAG advocate from the Walker Middle School actually discouraged us from having my daughter tested because he said there's no real advantage to being TAG identified at the middle school level. And he said that to me, and I heard him say that to another parent at a sixth grade orientation recently. That signals to me that there's a problem. When I've gone to the school repeatedly, and believe me, I'm speaking for just a few minutes here, but I've spent hours and hours and hours this year at my children's two schools. It's been virtually a part-time job trying to get this TAG program to work for my kids, and it's, no matter what I've done, it hasn't worked. When I bring concerns to the school, I'm encouraged to speak to teachers one-on-one, and I've done so, but they don't seem prepared. They don't have the course materials. They don't seem to have the training to know what to do. And when I continue to complain and bring concerns to administrators, I've been told that there are course plans that express the differentiation that's supposed to happen for TAG students in the class. And I brought copies of those plans in the written testimony. And what I hope you'll notice is that there's about a 2-inch space that's supposed to express the differentiation for an entire year for a TAG student. And one of the examples is the student will participate in class discussion. It's really not a differentiation. And I hope that you will see, as I have, that there's a disturbing lack of specificity there. And I really think that this bill will be a huge step forward to solving these problems by supplying the infrastructure and the training and the accountability for this program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Riggs.
My daughter, Sabrina.
Yeah, as my mom said, I'm a student at Walker Middle. And I've been really bored most of the day at school, and on an average, I'm going into eighth grade, and so on an average, I read 2 hours every day, so that's a third of my school day, and then about lunch and passing time, and I heard that it's, from what I understand, it's a requirement to give extra work for when you're done, but I never got the extra work. I got the work for the next day, so by Friday, I had nothing to do. Like, I just sit in the class and do nothing, and it's just really boring at school.
Mr. Chair, you're going to hear
Senator Walker.
Over and over from these children, and it is a shame that parents shouldn't have to take their kids out of public school and put them in private school just to find a school environment that's challenging for them. So and that's where we sent this bill down here. I'm not sure that E5's the right funding mechanism, but I do think it's really a problem, and we had some very compelling testimony in our committee and certainly what we're hearing now.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, Senator.
Just a comment, too. I believe that the bill would be an improvement, probably a considerable improvement, but I do not believe that it would actually be... there's a difference in this building between this is an improvement, I think it would be a good thing to do, but it would not replace the resources that have been lost in schools. I have the good fortune, I haven't seen the woman in probably 10 years, but during the early 1980s, I served on various advisory committees with a teacher who was a TAG teacher. Later, worked with her while I was a city councilor. By the last time I saw her was in the early about mid-90s, after Measure 5 had passed. Her role as a TAG teacher has become so stretched that she doubted whether she was doing actually any real good. I shouldn't say that because that I would want her to say that. I think she was still doing good. She just doubted the fact that she had become more or less like, I hate to use this example, like a roving school nurse. Literally, that she was spending a few hours, and I think she was at both the elementary and middle school level, she was spending a few hours in multiple schools during the weekly period. So I would say that this is a good step forward, but it's not going to replace the resources that have been lost.
Thank you, Senator. Well, Ms. Riggs and Sabrina, thank you very much for coming here today. It was important that you took the time to explain to the committee your experience, so we're hoping that we can translate the information that we got from you to improve things. So thank you very much for coming today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now I'd like to call up Margaret DeLacy. And then next will be Sue Love. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair Glizio and members of the committee. The first thing I want to do is thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to be here today. We've waited a long time to be here. For the record, my name is Margaret DeLacy. I live in Portland, and I am testifying on behalf of the Oregon Association for Talented and Gifted, which is a statewide membership organization. It includes teachers, tech coordinators, and families of gifted students. I have written testimony. I'm sorry, I don't have as many copies as I'd like, but to be honest, I ran out of quarters. I'm not going to read it because this is a TAG session. I think most of you can read. But I would like to go over some of the comments. We just heard Sabrina say how bored she is in school. And there have been several recent studies of students and dropouts in particular. And the reason that most of them drop out is boredom. This is a major risk factor. We lose a lot of students, and we lose a lot of students at the high end. We don't need to lose simply because they don't see any point in being in an environment where they're not learning. I'd like to talk a little about the fact that one of the biggest problems that we've encountered is the huge variation in services from school to school, even classroom to classroom, and especially from district to district. We do know of districts where there are no services at all, and students aren't even identified in some cases. They're not identified in several grade levels. There are other districts that are actually doing a pretty good job, and there are certainly individual schools and classrooms where teachers are doing a good job. One of our problems is that we need to find ways to make services more consistent so that happening to be born in a particular neighborhood or a particular school district doesn't keep children from having the same opportunities to learn as a neighbor or child in another area. One of the strengths of this bill is that it creates regional groups, which means that people all over the state will have some access to resources. And I think that this will help us rebuild some of the infrastructure that we've definitely lost since Measure 5. I'd also like to point out that this is an awful lot of students not to be learning. We're spending $10,000 on each and every one of those students, approximately, in state basic school support. And as a taxpayer, I think it's really important that we help districts spend this money wisely and ensure that it is, in fact, being spent on student learning. TAG services are a big piece of the accountability that is missing right now. We need leadership from the department. In 2004, the department did statewide hearings, and they found that a lack of leadership from the department was one of the biggest problems. It was noted by people, administrators and teachers, as well as parents. We'd like to see a full-time TAG specialist. I understand the department has given a commitment to that effect. I hope you'll hold them to that commitment. The regional planning groups envisioned in this bill will be more effective if they have some central direction. I'd also like to just let you know that in the back of this packet, I've included a couple of tables. One will give you some idea of what other states are doing. And the other will show you what's happened to TAG services compared to our two other major programs for special needs students in the state. It's the last page. And I asked Senator Walker if she could obtain this information for me, and I'd like to thank her and her staff for doing that. As you can see from this table, English as Second Language Services has almost doubled. It's gone up by about $40 million, just eyeballing it. The special ed services are up by about a third since 1999. The state population has increased. If you look at TAG, we're stuck at $7 million, which is roughly the same level we were in 1999. And I think that you have, in fact, given more money to school districts for services this biennium. I think it's very important to make sure that they spend some of those new resources on the top 10% of their students and make sure that the resources that they have, they actually get some help in knowing how that money can be used to best effect to ensure that these children do have a chance to learn and don't just end up being given tomorrow's work every time they're ahead in the classroom. I'd be happy to answer any questions now or after Sue speaks.
Senator Devlin, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lacey, we've communicated by email a number of times, actually. I think one of the things here is if a case can be made, which actually the case can be made, one of the items listed in the school improvement fund is retention of students. I think if you can make an issue of that, the obvious thing, not the thing that I necessarily like, but the obvious thing when you look at this graph in terms of changing levels of expenditures is you go from special education, a very heavy federal mandate with less than resources to fulfill the federal government's commitment, to ESL with almost as equivalent of a mandate, to TAG with literally no mandate. And I think that's one of the differences in terms of funding for special education, for good reasons. I'm not saying for bad reasons, but for good reasons. If you're failing to meet the federal mandate, you might find yourself in court. So I mean, that's one of the obvious differences.
Are you offering pro bono work?
No, I am not. I am not representing myself as a member of the bar.
All right, I thought you.
But what Senator, no, Senator Devlin was, were you asking a question or offering an observation?
No, I mean it's an obvious when you look at these numbers. It's an obvious, even when you look at everything that's happened on the federal level, and you have the mandates there for special ed, IDE. I do believe you would have some clear issues over English as a second language in terms of constitutional issues. But you also have those, but you don't have anything in TAG. You have No Child Left Behind, which has some good aspects, but its direction is basically to bring people up to a common bar. It's not basically put in a direction to make every child achieve at the maximum possible level, which would probably be a much better direction. But I think that's part of the problem. And school districts are being asked to do more, and although we've given them considerably more resources this biennium, it's still far less resources than even our school districts had in 1999 or 2000 when you look at it in terms of what the actual costs have been and the resources we provided.
Chair Glizio and Senator Devlin, would you like me to respond to that?
Please, absolutely.
Okay. First of all, the observation is clearly correct. However, in Oregon, we do have a very good tag law, which most of our parents and teachers are quite pleased with. The problem has been a lack of enforcement, and I do believe that state laws should be respected by our districts at the same level as federal law. We'd really like to see that happen, but without the personnel at the department to enforce the law, it's very difficult to explain to districts that they need to live up to the requirements of the rules. We do not believe that TAG services require spending at the level of special education. I think districts are quite concerned about this. The cost for TAG is not in providing aids for individual students. If we could just provide really good training for administrators, particularly, and for teachers about how to provide these services, we think that they could be done in an extremely cost-effective way and at very close to the cost of the districts are now spending on students who are just sitting on their hands in the classroom. But it does take training, and that's a piece that has really been lacking in this state for about 15 years now. We're losing the infrastructure of people who were originally trained back 20 years ago. And we do need some money to provide that infrastructure again, because if you train just one teacher to help these kids, you're going to be helping every child in that teacher's classroom for the entire course of that teacher's career. It's an extremely high return for the dollar investment in our schools. But I think we also do need to go about it strategically and not just sort of hand out money to schools that no longer have staff that know how to spend it effectively.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lacey. Slav?
Yes. Thank you, Chair Glizio, and members of the Education Subcommittee. I've spoken a couple times. I know Senator Walker has seen me. Being behind a microphone in front of a camera is not my comfort zone at all, but I will do it for these kids. For the record, my name is Susan Love, and I am a resident of Salem, Oregon. My husband and I are parents of a 15-year-old TAG student who attends a high school in Salem. As this legislative session approaches its final days, I would like to extend a sincere thank you to all of the individuals who have introduced and worked on legislation for talented and gifted students, their families, and those who work with this population of students. We are here in support of Senate Bill 622. As you consider this bill today, we ask that you pass it on to the full committee with a positive recommendation. We appreciate your commitment to this population of students during this legislative session, and we hope that what has occurred during the 2007 session will lay the groundwork for future sessions, that all of us can continue to work together for the 41,000 plus identified TAG students in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sarkin, for being here today, and Ms. Lacey, we really appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony. All four of them. Look at these. Chuck Bennett, David Williams, Lori Wingleller, and Tricia Smith.
Late,
I know. I guess we have three chairs, but...
Could you tell me about our Sunday hearing?
Yes, we're going to have a Sunday hearing at 9 a.m. We're going to... There's talented and gifted lobbyists.
Thank you for... My name is Chuck Bennett. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. Mr. Chairman, we have been very supportive of the policy issues around talented and gifted. There's been several bills. We've been very interested in them. This is an issue area that we've discussed for a number of sessions, one that needs certainly no introduction or discussion from us. I think you've heard from parents and children who are involved directly. Our concern, Mr. Chairman, is quite simply with using the School Improvement Fund as the source of revenue for this. This has been one that we are convinced should come through the Department of Education rather than through the classroom. From the general fund, not from the school improvement fund, which is $180 targeted to every student in the classroom for programs for students in the classroom. And we believe, quite honestly, that to use these funds for other purposes at this point would be a real mistake. Planning is going on out there, including addition of talented and gifted programs at some districts, AP programs at others. I mean, this is a fund source that we are very excited about. As you know, Mr. Chairman, we're very interested in the opportunity to take these funds and apply them directly to student achievement and to present you with programs and with outcomes we think will indicate what this kind of targeted funding into the classroom can achieve. If this bill is to move forward, Mr. Chairman, we would certainly ask that the funding source again be returned through the Department of Education and ultimately then from the general fund. Ms. Chairman, in terms of the concept of the six regional centers, I would be derelict if I didn't mention that Ways and Means currently has House Bill 2614, a bill worked out that has arrived at Ways and Means that sets up a series of collaboratives and regional centers around the state that would be an outstanding way to deal with this. It takes on a whole range of other issues, particularly focused on developing a statewide program of, in a very simple form, professional development that could easily take on this issue and really, I think, come to you in February with everything else. Or later, with a really concrete program looking at TAG regionally. There are so many other ways to resolve this than to come through that school improvement fund. So we'd ask you again to pass on that portion of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. For your record, Lori Wilmer Whalen, representing the Oregon Education Association. It's 46,000 members and also a Portland TAG parent myself. I would echo both Mr. Bennett's points and also Senator Devlin's points earlier about this concept in the Dash Fives. We have grave concerns as well. One of the points I'd like to make to you is that, as we all know, with respect to challenge and boredom issues for students who are high achievers in our public school system, the best way to remedy that is to make sure that the resources, both in terms of enrichment programs and in smaller class sizes, foreign language options, art, music, PE, the whole gamut, IB and AP classes and so on, concurrent credit, expanded options, which you all just passed and then also updated in this session. All of those which require resources are the way that you provide the kind of resources to students, no matter what their ability level, to engage them and to keep them engaged and also so that they can reach their ultimate capacity as learners. And we believe that dedication of resources, which you've all committed to this session with the $6.245 billion package, which this Dash 5 now contemplates eroding by $860,000 to put into the Department of Ed, not the classroom, as Mr. Bennett pointed out, is a step backwards. We're starting to move toward the full funding that provides all those resources for students everywhere, as we all know from the quality education model, would have cost in the 07-09 by biennium, $7.77 billion. What students feel on the ground when they are unable to access the kind of resources you heard testimony about today is that those resources aren't fully up to that ideal at this point. And we're heading that direction. We're very grateful to you for that. But we would point out to you that this isn't the remedy for what you heard in terms of testimony. That would be. And then finally, removing the funds from the School Improvement Fund is not about fixing that problem. It is about providing more administration overall, and there are other pathways for getting there. By contrast, if you leave the money in there, it is not that you couldn't, as Senator Devlin said, use those school improvement dollars for student achievement if a district so elected to provide those enrichments on the ground, and that we think is a better use of those dollars. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Smith.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tricia Smith. I represent Oregon School Employees Association, and I'm delighted to be here with you today in these last very few days of the session. And I'm here to offer our concerns to the Dash 5 amendments. I won't repeat what Mr. Bennett and Ms. Wimmer-Whalen have said to you, although we agree with those things, except to reiterate that this bill appears to set bureaucracy rather than program for children. And if we're interested in establishing more education bureaucracy, as Mr. Bennett suggested, we suggest that you look at House Bill 2614, which is in your Ways and Means Committee, as the place to set up regional training centers and bureaucracies for professional development. That bill, I think, if I recall, specifically addresses TAG as well as other programs, professional development programs and training programs, which schools can access from those regional centers. We are most especially concerned about the Dash 5 Amendment, which, as you have heard, would pigeonhole $860,000 for this particular program in the School Improvement Fund, which is counter to the whole concept of the School Improvement Fund, that being the opportunity for districts to look at their own needs and decide what those needs are and then apply to the department for funding for those needs. And we would hope that you would leave your brilliant idea with the School Improvement Fund intact and not pass this amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, David Williams with the Oregon School Boards Association, and I have absolutely nothing to add to the fine testimony given by my partners at the dais here.
Then the question is, why are we sitting here? I see. Mr. Chair, could I ask a question? There's been reference here about the collaborative, and I've heard about it throughout the session, but has it actually technically been assigned to our committee yet?
No, it
hasn't. 2614?
No, it has not.
Well, therein lies a problem, but all right. Well, given that we've had conversation about how it could help solve some of these concerns, I would. I'm not going to leave these people without any redress at all or some assistance to try to get some funding and some professional development for TAG. I mean, would any of you disagree that there needs to be more professional development regarding TAG instruction?
Mr. Chairman, no, Senator Walker, we would not disagree. There is a long-standing need in talented and gifted education, probably going back many years. So, no, we really believe there is a need for professional development. There's a need for program. There's a need for planning. There's a need for funding. Ultimately, it's funding.
Mr. Chair, could I follow up on that? I know the funding's not in the collaborative, but how much of what's in the collaborative could address some of those issues you just talked about, Mr. Bennett?
As I recall, Madam Chair, and Senator Walker, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to remember if it is not assigned that way, as I recall, but I think the availability of it is really based on the needs determined by the various units of the collaborative and the interests of the collaborative. And one of the assignments was to go into the talented and gifted area, which would allow for a very substantial investment of time, expertise, and funds, I think, to to be determined. I wouldn't want to set a price tag on it. There may be, certainly Mr. Sager is the real expert on House Bill 2614 if he's available.
He's not in the room.
I think with a hearing on this and an opportunity for you to take a look at it, I think you would see just what a high-quality bill this is and how visionary it is relative to this kind of need and a whole range of other needs mm-hmm. out there. It goes well beyond the concept of mentoring and things like that. This goes into making sure that educators are educated in the specific needs, and they're becoming increasingly individual as we deal with children, and this gives us the opportunity to provide that kind of really high quality postgraduate, on the job education and professional development. This really is a very good bill, and I am sorry to hear it hasn't been assigned yet.
Mr. Chair, do you know how much money is assigned to that bill?
1.2 million.
1.2 million. Thank you, Senator Devlin.
It's nice to have an encyclopedia.
That's
right. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I want to make it very clear that I'm actually supportive of Senate Bill 622. I wish the co-chairs could find a way to fund 622. I hope that they do find a way to fund 622. I chaired the Department of Education budget on the Senate floor yesterday. And it's not a criticism of the Department of Education, but even if it is administrative overhead in a budget, and I can't remember the exact number, but I think it was like 440 FTE or thereabouts. TAG deserves more than 0.3 out of 440 right. FTE in the Department of Education, even if it is administrative mm-hmm. overhead. My concern switching now to 2614 has been my understanding and others' understanding is that there was broad agreement amongst the entire education community that 2614 moved forward. There was even an understanding that it would actually come from that $6.245 billion. Now, I got two different...
I got one in the back from...
We're getting the same organization that says yes.
And one in front that's nodding her head the other way. Mm-hmm. But that's my understanding. But the real thing now is it's also my understanding that it is neither in the bill, that the funding for 2614 is neither in the basics support fund, nor is it in the school improvement fund.
Do you want to clarify the body language?
Yes.
With verbal? Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if that was a reference to me, Lori Wimmer Whalen again, yes, it was our understanding that the $1.2 million would come from the state school fund, and it's also matched with private resources
right, right.
of equal value.
There's no dollars above the $6.245 to get.
No, I said from
the state school fund.
Yes. Do you know, Mr. Chairman, Senator?
I'm just not trying to be glib there, but
at the time the discussion was occurring, we had not locked down on 6245. They're
right.
These were still very broad discussions
right.
when this was arrived at. So,
and Mr. Chairman, if I might reiterate there, I didn't mean that to be in a negative. It's just that I got so many people in this building trying to get more money in their budgets than they already have that I'm saying the same thing to practically everyone. But the other thing there is that that's another one of the real negatives about not moving forward on 2614 is that it's $1.2 million in public funds, but there was a broad commitment to provide additional private funds to at least equalize that. And those won't be there unless we do 2614 either.
That's correct.
I just want one clarification, because in the beginning it seemed like there's agreement that the status quo is unacceptable. There's agreement that we need to do a lot more for TAG students. And there seems to be agreement among the four of you that the Dash 5 is not the funding mechanism. But I'm not really clear about, you know, you're talking about 2614. Are you opposed to structurally how this is set up, absent the Dash 5 amendments? Structurally, are you in opposition to that?
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't think we're opposed to the way it's set up, although we believe it becomes redundant with 2614, and that 2614 offers a broader framework that deals with not only TAG, but other professional development, particularly at the classroom level, as we try to achieve the kind of accountability, both financially and educationally, that's being expected of us. This really was an important bill to all of us, and we're sorry that it is not here, but it is not the bill we're talking about today.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Mr. Chair, 2614 deals with the same kinds of structure. It's very similar to this in its vision. It envisions best practices. It envisions professional development. It envisions curriculum. It envisions the whole package. And so we think that is a better alternative than a program exclusive to TAG.
Senator Morris?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there a clear understanding and agreement with respect to what the school improvement fund shall be used for amongst all the stakeholders?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Morse, yes, there is. Senate Bill 318, we believe, is an absolute clear outline of what those funds are available for. We expect any time now, as soon as the governor signs the bill for funding, that we'll see application forms going out from the Department of Education. School districts are currently gearing up around 318. We have been supplying them information on the 318 outline of programs available for funding for months now. We've been trying to get them ready so that the pre-planning would occur in the hopes that this would be the decision, which was the use of these funds for those programs. So, yeah, I think everybody's real clear what these funds are for. Very clear.
Well, I just raised this issue. It was shared by Senator Deckard on the floor yesterday when we carried the school improvement fund bill. Anecdotally, it appears to be that some folks are essentially just recoding business as usual and will be using school improvement funds to do what ordinarily would be done by the state school fund. And that is information that is kind of circulated amongst the members.
That's unfortunate.
Mr. Chair?
And I raise that issue because I think we're going to have some problems if next session this comes back and we see something different than what was intended. So I raised that early in the game.
Thank you.
That we all need to collectively be aware of
what
that purpose is and how those funds will be used and measured and reported back.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, sorry I didn't mean to interrupt you. We being the coalition of advocates who came forward with the update language, working with the Senate Educational Excellence Commission, we had districts tell us how they plan to use those dollars, and we created a little booklet and circulated it to the legislature, and we had 23 districts from all over the state of Oregon who were willing to step to the plate early before they'd even gone through their budget review committees to tell us about what their vision was for the use of their $180 per student, and we did try to make that available, and I think they were pretty clear that they were planning to use the list that you have passed now in statute through your votes as their guideposts for how they were going to merge those with their local and individual development programs, which bring in that local control aspect in order to move student achievement for their kids in their district. And so we offered that up as evidence of the fact that they were already starting to plan precisely the way you had envisioned it.
Thank you. That's encouraging to have that feedback.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an issue that for over a decade in the legislature now, I have never really understood the lack of support for on the part of the groups represented by the folks who are currently testifying. apologies if that sounds harsh. Senator Devlin, I quite frankly have never understood why folks in the audience who are here supporting this maybe haven't been more aggressive through the court system on this issue. I really think you're in danger. We're in danger of court action on this issue. I've started out, you know, watching a number of these students from my years teaching at the community college, and have had some students come in, and this is 100 years ago, plus or minus a few, but that literally flunked out of high school. And this is somewhat difficult to do in the modern world where high schools get paid for students being there. They and at any rate have literally funked out of high school and wound up, one in particular comes to mind, that wound up going through the community college and then on through the University of Oregon with a modest grade point average of over 3.85. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was over that. I graduated from Blue Mountain with a 4 point at any rate. And found when having an opportunity that education was like a drug, that it was addictive, and that they would pursue it to its ultimate, if you wish, extent. And it, you know, as I think about it, an incredible waste to society, but it's also an incredible waste to those young people who fall into that category. I don't know what of the 622 or the 2614, both seem, if enacted, to be inadequate. Compared to what we have failed to do over the at least 10 years that I've been in the legislature on this issue. I would admit that I and most members of the committee will recognize that I've said we failed to fund education in general at the level that I think we're obligated to do. This, as I look at the information that Senator Walker was kind enough to help one of the folks who testified here bring to us, I mean, you know, whoopee, a grand total of, you know, something like $100,000 from 1900 to the present time, increase in what was probably a grossly inadequate funding at the time, when we have, you know, almost a, not a tripling, but well over a doubling of the ESL, and I have no negative comments to make about an ESL at all. I mean, I do understand that, you know, some principles there, and no negative comments about the other special ed programs, that which I realize we were underfunding, grossly underfunding, and not taking care of, you know, before. But, Mr. Chairman, I don't know what chance we have this session and this legislature to make some sort of a microscopic change in what we've done in the past. But I certainly would encourage you as chair of this committee, and I would be happy to lend any support that I can, you know, to that for us to to do something. And I would have to say that I'm a little taken back. I realize nobody, once you've got a slush fund out there and all those straws have been divided up, and they start, getting into it, that nobody wants the size of that pool to retire or go down. And we certainly don't want anybody else to get a straw, to get into that slush fund, or school improvement fund, excuse me. I think, Mr. Chair, suggest that these students are as entitled to some of the services that might have been aimed out of that fund as any other student in the state of Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your indulgence.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. So before I gavel this out, I wanted to first thank all of you that came out today to testify. I think we see from the comments that this committee is motivated to try to, if not this funding in this direct manner, to try to do something to improve the infrastructure and the delivery of services to talented and gifted students. So the chair will be working hard to try to convince folks here that we should do that. I think people on this committee will do as well. So I appreciate you coming out. And although I wouldn't align myself, Representative Jensen, with your comments about the School Improvement Fund, which was created in 2001, and I think you were one of the people that voted for it. But beyond that, I do think it's a... I mean, I'm just thinking about it in this country, if you had a young person who was really talented in a sport, the kind of attention and resources that would be available to that person would be... quite extraordinary. And so it's a lack of foresight that we don't take this enormous potential and really try to allow them to achieve. It's stupid. It's disgraceful, and we've got to make some changes. So again, I want to thank all of you for taking the time out, and I've enjoyed watching the young man read the dinosaur book. He looks bored. So with that, because he already finished it, I think he finished it like 20 minutes ago. Yes, yeah. Senator Walker.
Thank you. I'd actually like to make a comment, if I might, because people are getting squishy and uncomfortable with the $860,000 appropriation. It's a huge appropriation. I'm thinking here, trying to be creative, if we could get that way down, if there was, from what I understand, the collaborative, the goal that we don't yet have, that I suspect we will have, can do some of this training. And so I'd like to see that bill, and if it's not currently in there, maybe beef that up. But also, it seems to me that a one-third FTE in the department is pretty gross. And I did hear quite a bit of testimony. Senator Moore serves on my policy committee, and that's just not enough. So that we could get some money to beef that FTE up in the department, so they'd at least have someone to help do a little bit better coordination and pay attention, a little more attention to this. So I'm thinking we could try to blend this bill with some other things to maybe get someplace instead of doing nothing.
Yep.
The thought of doing nothing is not a good thing.
Not acceptable. Ms. Feathers, did you want to, if you're going to be very, very quick. Okay. Okay, sorry, your time's up.
Again, Becca Feathers, Santa Mesca. I just wanted to respond very quickly to a couple of things. First of all, we think that 2614 is a great vehicle, but again, it is not before the committee right now. It's not here, and it is an even larger amount of money than what Senate Bill 622 is asking for. From the panel that you heard some testimony that the School Improvement Fund was earmarked for schools and earmarked for students, and that it shouldn't be pigeonholed. And I don't want to sound as though I'm combating the established wisdom, but it seems to myself and to Senator Metzger that these are also students who are also in school, and that
the school improvement fund is established has in Senate Bill 318 provisions for professional development and for reducing achievement gaps, and that regional planning centers for talented and gifted students and for professional development for teachers, which is primarily the service that they would perform, are exactly what that fund is for.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I feel compelled to ask for one very quick rebuttal, and you may gavel me off.
Okay.
Choose.
Absolutely.
But I would submit that I think improving the TAG program in the state of Oregon would be a school improvement activity.
Thank you, Representative Jensen.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Walker and I are in actually concurrence, and that actually happens a lot more often than people would suspect. I mean, I clearly believe that you could fund the additional resources at the Department of Ed, and if you have 2614, and I'm not saying modify 2614, but that might be a way to address part of the issue in terms of the collaborative portion of this, because if you meld the two together, I'm just looking for a way to do this, actually. And I think the issue about the school improvement fund is that the resources are there. In fact, they are there, and there's a long laundry list of things that they can be used for. And I actually think you can make several cases within that, that this is an item that they can be used for. But the way that is basically established is that the decision in terms of that long laundry list and making the choices about what the best use was not taken at this. We gave them a laundry list, but the decision was left at the local level. And that's basically because many of us, I wouldn't be opposed if this was in the middle of the session about talking to you about several million dollars of appropriations for this. But I think if the intent here was to have a decision made at the local level, because most of us believe that at the local level they are in a better position to make individual decisions about school districts than we are as a quasi-state school board here. We do not want to become a quasi-state school board here. The people that are elected at the local level are the people probably best suited to make those decisions with some direction.
And we would certainly agree that, you know, and be willing to look creatively at funding if TAG students are creative. The very least that we can do is try to match that creativity. If you will see in your bill files handed out today, there's a list of activities being performed currently by the former regional planning group at PSU, which continued its operation after its funding was cut because teachers requested that they still have those services. So when considering combining the collaborative processes, that might be a good place to look to see what they are still doing with no funding.
Thank you very much. And do I have to close the public hearing on 318 and 2614 as well, or do I just 622A? Is that all right?
We can throw two more bills.
All right, yeah. All right. Thank you all very much. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 622A, and we are adjourned.